Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we'll discover how trials and tribulations build strength of character.
Perseverance produces character. It starts changing laziness to hard work. It starts dealing with the core issues of your life. When you go through a difficult time and you keep doing what's right, even though no matter how hard it is, it produces character. And when you have character, you have hope.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and president of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Did you know that in addition to hearing us on your local station, you can also access this program through the Moody Radio mobile app? To learn all the ways you can catch this daily program, be sure to visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. Well, today as we continue with part two of a message Mark calls Breaking Down the Wall, we'll consider the evidence of God's good news. While we know that trials and tribulations will come our way even after we've accepted Christ, the good news is that He will give us the power to persevere. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll develop the character needed to change our whole perspective. This message comes from our series, City of God. So let's get started. Here's Mark Jobe.
I was speaking at a conference not too long ago, and they put me in a nice hotel with my wife. When I went to register at the front desk of the hotel, they said, "This is your key." So I went up to this hotel, this fancy hotel, and I went up to the door of my room, and I swiped it, and the door wouldn't open. That ever happened to you? So you flip it around, you swipe it again, flip it around, swipe it, then you bang it, kick it, hit it, swipe it up, swipe it down, swipe it sideways, this, that, the other. It's like, I have no access here. So I had to get in the elevator, go all the way downstairs to the reception desk, and I said, my access key is not working. And the lady said, "Well, excuse me, sir, sorry about that. Let me reprogram it." And so she put it through a machine and gave it back to me. When I went up to my room, now suddenly before I did not have access because I didn't have the right key to access what was waiting for me. Behind that door was a nice big room, a bed there was comfortable, but I was left out in the hallway because I had no access. So once I had that key, I swiped it, and yes, that little green light went on, and I went into the room, and it was a nice room, a very nice hotel. And then as I started walking down the hallway with my wife, I passed a double door there. I looked inside. People had plates of food, and they were eating, and it was this nice environment, and I'm looking from the outside, and I looked at my key, and I said, "Look, honey, I have access." What Paul is telling us is that up until now, you have not had access to the grace of God, the favor of God, this place of God's favor, because you've been debtors. When God sees you, He sees the penalty of your sin upon you, a debt that you and I cannot pay. We've failed miserably. We've sinned thousands of times. So we do not have access to what God has for us, but when we come to God through Jesus Christ, it is faith. And when God applies His forgiveness and justifies us, now suddenly He gives us an access code into His grace. And so we go to God now and we swipe the faith card, and suddenly we have access to a room. It's called the grace room. Oh, let me tell you, you want to be in the grace room. What is grace? Grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Listen, when you're in the grace room, you don't have to prove that you're worthy of God's love because you already know that He loves you. When you're in the grace room, God is a friend of yours. When you're in the grace room, the door of access is permanently open to Him, and you can talk to Him whenever you want without shame or guilt because you have access to the grace room. When you are in that place of grace, listen, You spend more time praising God and less time hating yourself for the sins that you've committed because you know that you have been washed and cleansed and justified before God because you have access to His grace. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You see, some of you aren't standing in the grace of God right now because you have not accessed it through faith. So you're hiding through the corridors of life, feeling guilty about your life and the shame because you owe God. But listen, if someone were to come and say, I have a gift for you, and you say, what is that gift? I have 3 months' rent payment for you. And I've gone to the landlord, and I've paid your debt. And not only have I paid your debt, but I've paid 3 months in advance as well. So I paid the 3 months that you owed, and I paid 3 months in advance. Let me tell you now, you want to see that landlord. You want to say, hey, landlord, it's me. Hey, I see you in aisle 5. 3 months in advance. You know that sink that's been clogged? I think you should clean it now because I fixed it because 3 months. You see, when we have been cleansed by God of the debt that we owe and righteousness has been imputed unto us, not only has our debt been washed away, but we have been given righteousness into our account. So now we are walking in the favor of God. We are no longer slaves, but sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's how we live and that's how we walk. The second thing that we, not only do we get peace with God, then he tells us in verse 3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So Paul says, not only do we receive peace with God, but we also have the joy in God even when we're going through difficult times because we know that there's a purpose. You see, just because you come to God and give your life to Christ doesn't mean that all your problems go away. Listen, if you come to Christ today and your wife is at home fuming over how much she can't stand you, you can come to Christ, get to this altar, be washed of your sins, cleansed before God, full of the Holy Spirit. And when you go back home, your wife is still not going to be able to stand you. But you say, well, honey, I'm saved. And she's going to say, yeah, well, you better go save your own self and clean the garage. You see, coming to God doesn't take your problems away. If you're in debt right now, listen, you're going to come, get saved, give your life to Christ, go home. You will still, your credit debt and those payment due bills aren't going to disappear just because you give your life to Jesus. If you've been diagnosed with cancer, listen, you come to God, give your life to Jesus, guess what? You go back, you'll probably still be diagnosed with cancer. If you're having trouble at school being able to pass algebra and you come to Christ and give your life to Jesus, it's not like suddenly you're going to be an expert in algebra. That's not the way it works. But what he is saying is this, that now that you know God, now that you have been justified, you view your tribulations and trials in life in a different way. He says, not only so, but now we also rejoice in our suffering. What? He says, now when you have tribulation in your life, which you will have, you have a different perspective towards it because you know, listen to me, now you know that it's not God punishing you, but now you know that there is a purpose in your suffering or your difficulty. What is that purpose? Now you know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose, that God has a purpose and a plan in the middle of your hardship. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what purpose and good could there be in my trial. Well, listen, he says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to hang in there and do what's right even when it's hard. So we know that our suffering, our hard time, produces the ability to keep doing what's right even when it's hard. And perseverance, if you keep doing what's right even when it's difficult, perseverance produces character. What's that mean? That it changes you on the inside. It deals with your heart. It starts changing selfishness to selflessness, hatred to love. It starts changing laziness to hard work. It starts changing faithlessness to be full of faith. It starts dealing with the core issues of your life. When you go through a difficult time and you keep doing what's right, even though no matter how hard it is, it produces character. And when you have character, you have hope. You have hope. And hope is the expectation of a better future based on the promises of God.
This is Bold Steps, and we'll get right back into Mark Jobe's message in just a minute. But first, may I share a listener comment with you that I know will brighten your day. This listener says, words cannot express how deeply your message impacted me. You shared that you had changed your message midweek, sensing that someone needed reassurance that they were not forgotten or abandoned by the Lord in the brokenness of their greatest life crises. Your message is even more significant because I normally don't have the radio on in the mornings. There's absolutely no doubt that the precious Holy Spirit orchestrated the perfect timing for my heart to be touched. Well, thank you for that note, and touching lives for Christ is one of our goals here at Bold Steps. So if you'd like to partner with us in this cause, we invite you to become a Bold Partner today. Just visit boldstepsradio.org. Click on Become a Bold Partner. It's right there on the left sidebar. Now, let's return to today's message from Mark Jobe.
Listen to me well, this is really important. When you, as a believer, have given your life to Christ, you may still go through some major trials in your life, but they will not squash you. They will not depress you. They will not eliminate you. If you have God on your side and you are justified through faith, your difficult times will create in you a person of character, and your person of character will produce in you a person of hope, and hope does not disappoint. So you will go through your trial, and even in your trial, you will be the most positive, faith-filled, God-loving, strong, Jesus-honoring person on the face of this earth. And you say, well, how can that happen? Listen to verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because, listen to me well, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Oh, did you just hear me, what I said?
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
God has poured out his love.
That's right. Amen.
His incredible, powerful love. This unconditional agape love has been poured out on you. Listen, when I go to a restaurant, I'm a coffee drinker. In the morning, I have one coffee, and then I feel like I need another coffee, and then I may even have a third coffee. I know there's probably support groups for that, but so the lady comes out and says, hey, can I pour you another cup? She just pours it out, and it starts filling up. This is the image that God has given us, that God, the God of the universe, has dipped his heavenly container full of powerful, unconditional love. And he's found you because you're justified, because you no longer owe him, because Jesus has made you clean. And he pours out his love on you. He pours out the love of God in your life, not because you've earned it, but because you have access to his favor through faith in what Jesus has done on the cross. And he pours out his love on you. And how does he do it? He does it through the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's the third person of the Godhead, that power inside of you. He baptizes you in love. So suddenly, when you have not felt love before, have never felt like you were worthy, suddenly you start to feel like the God of this universe actually likes me, loves me, cares about me unconditionally because he's poured out his love through his Holy Spirit. Here's what it means. It means that God, oh, this is so powerful. Before you knew God, you were alienated from him. You were an enemy of God. You say, well, I didn't see myself as an enemy, but you were. It's like you distractedly run a couple red lights. And the police see it. And now they're chasing after you. And you look in your rearview mirror and you say, I wonder who they're going after. They come right up behind you. And the officer comes and you roll down your window and he says, do you know that you just ran two stop? Oh, I didn't know that, officer. Well, you may not have known that, but you are an offender. You've broken the law. There's a penalty you have to pay. Before we knew Jesus, we were enemies of God, alienated from God. We had a huge debt to pay. But once you've come to Jesus and once you receive that gift through faith, he's given you access to himself. And now, not only has he given you access, but he says, now I want to do the biggest thing that I could ever do. I want to pour myself inside of you. And so God comes to live inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So now God himself, the God of the universe, actually lives in your body. So now where you go, God goes. There's not a place where you go that you will go today if you're a believer in Jesus Christ that God hasn't gone with you. You say, well, you know, I think I'm going to go to a strip club. You know, you can go to a strip club, but you are taking the presence of God right into that strip joint. God has just walked in with you. And I'm going to tell you something. If God walks in with you, you're going to feel conviction. Because God's going to say, no. You see that girl dancing in that pole there? I love her, and she has a dignity and a soul and a heart, and she's someone's little girl. Hey, listen, it's hard to enjoy the things you used to enjoy when the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you a new appetite because it's been poured out inside of your heart. And now lastly, number three. In verse 6, it says, listen, you see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anybody die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So not only we have the joy of God, have the peace of God, but we have the love of God. And I love what it says here. Listen, it says, you see, just at the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm about to wrap it up, so I want you to listen. This is really, really important. That word powerless means that we were paralyzed. We had no strength of our own to change or do anything. Spiders. That most spiders have a venom in them. And they'll catch an insect and they'll inject a venom in that insect. And that venom actually paralyzes the prey. So the prey gets caught in a web and they paralyze it. They wrap it up. And the victim is still alive, that little insect is still alive, but they're paralyzed. I know that's not doing much for those of you that already have a phobia of spiders. I've just added to it, right? But But what comes to mind is that sin had put its venom inside of us and made us paralyzed to change ourselves. The Bible says, while you were yet powerless to do what? Powerless to be right with God. Powerless to change your life and live for God. Listen, without Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot improve your life enough to make yourself right before God. It's impossible. While you were yet powerless, ungodly, living in sin, where you are still down in the muck and mire of your garbage, this is what he says. While we were yet powerless, Christ died for us when we were ungodly. Not when we were good, he died for us, but when we were really bad. No one usually will die for a righteous person, let alone someone that's unrighteous. He says, but God, seeing you and I powerless in our fallen state, he looked at us and he loved us even when we were unlovable. When you were full of envy and hatred and bitterness, God still loved you. When you were cavorting in your sin and falling over and over, not turning around and turning your back at God and raising your fist at the heaven, when you were running from God, God still loved you. When you were in your most desperate, darkest state where even your relatives didn't want to be around you, your friends said, what has gotten into this person? It was hard for your mother to love you. Even in that state, the God of the universe, blameless and holy, looked down at you and he loved you. You were powerless to reach out to him, but he reached out to you. You were powerless to change your life, but he said, I love you enough. I want to change you. Peace, joy, and the love of God.
Mark Jobe with today's Bold Steps. Mark, there's someone listening right now who up until now has been fighting and resisting God, but they're sensing the Spirit is drawing them to himself.
Yeah, you know, Wayne, the love of God and the grace of God are so powerful and irresistible. And sometimes people, it's the fear of hell or judgment, and I think those are big motivators. Mm-hmm. But there's something even more powerful about the grace of God and the love of God that draws to himself. And so if you've been listening to this message and you say, you know, I can't believe that the God of the universe, that this almighty God would actually love me. And that's what Scripture says, that when before we were cleansed, tarnished, toxic, broken, fallen, he's loved us. And not only loved us, redeemed us and called us his own and washed us and put his name on us, that's the power of the gospel. And so if you have been struggling with really accepting that, I'd like to pray for you right now real quickly. And would you just pause with me? Father, I pray for that person that's had a hard time receiving the love of God. I pray that you would break through by the power of your Holy Spirit even now, Lord, that they would sense and understand that those lies would be melted in the heat of God's love, and that they would truly for the first time understand that the love of God has drawn them to salvation through himself. And so I pray in Jesus' name that this would be a turning point as they finally receive the love of God and the message of salvation and surrender their life to Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. And I know your heart to see people come to Christ. You have a dual role. You are president of Moody Bible Institute, training the next generation of church leaders, but at the same time, you're a local pastor who speaks evangelistically, and people are coming to Christ.
Yeah, Wayne, that's my heart. I've been a pastor for a long time, and I asked when I stepped into this role if I could continue to pastor, and the board graciously allowed me to do that. I'm a better president, I think, as I'm engaged in ministry. And Wayne, literally, I've seen thousands of people come to Christ.
Wow.
Thousands of people come to Christ. And And we see on a regular basis, each month we're seeing people come to Christ, getting baptized, and some really powerful testimonies. And so I believe in the power of the gospel, and I've seen it with my very own eyes, just the incredible transformative power that the gospel of Jesus has.
Well, we pray it happened for someone listening to this message here today on the radio. Thank you, Mark.
And what a privilege to partner with Mark Job and Bold Steps. You can become a Bold partner with us by going to our website or by calling us at 844-615-7363. The website is boldstepsradio.org. And when you give a gift of any amount today, we'll say thanks for your gift by sending you a copy of Mark Sayer's book, The Road Trip That Changed the World. Discover the truth seeker's true calling for the road in this lively and encouraging read. That's all the time we have today, but be sure to join us tomorrow. Our message is titled, Coming Alive to a New Me. You'll hear it Wednesday on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio and a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.